Another new feature available in the SANS analysis package is the ability to plot and fit 2D datasets. To do this, you need to enable 2D functions on the CurveFit setup. Now the buttons are enabled to handle two-dimensional data. In addition, we need to load in a 2D function. In this case, we'll load in an oriented two-dimensional cylinder. There are a small number of two-dimensional functions available right now, but more are planned for the future. To plot a two-dimensional data set, we first need to have a two-dimensional data set to work with. If we don't have a two-dimensional data set, we can create a fake data set in the same way that you create a fake data set or a fake Q range for a one-dimensional model. We need to set it up with a minimum and maximum QX, a minimum and maximum QY. These need not be symmetric and can be representative of data taken with a detector offset. You need to choose the number of pixels. For simulation, this is 64 pixels in each direction, or a 64 by 64 detector, and then give it a name. A surface plot will be generated for this fake data with values simply set to 1. If we now choose this fake data, we can choose the two-dimensional cylinder model and plot that function. It generates an image plot of the data, the model data, and a list of coefficients. We can append the 2D surface to our fake data set, and the model calculation here is shown in green. We can also convert the scaling of the model from logarithmic to linear. Note that this affects only the surface. It does not affect the scaling of the image. Changing coefficients in here, again, is automatically linked to the model calculation. We change the radius, change the length. We see dramatic changes in the scattering pattern. There are additional parameters here, including the orientation of the cylinder relative to the beam and relative to the detector. The two angles needed to define the cylinder orientation are theta, which is the angle of the cylinder axis relative to the incoming neutron beam, and the phi angle, which is the angle, again, relative to the cylinder axis and the x axis on the detector, the positive qx axis. To see what these actually mean, we can show the cylinder orientation in a three-dimensional representation. In this case, the beam is moving actually in the negative z direction. It's moving away from you towards the shaded gray plane, which is the detector plane. The x and y represent the qx and qy axes on the detector. We can set the angle of both theta and phi, if we say 45 degrees for theta and say 20 degrees for phi, that results in an orientation shown here, where the angle of the cylinder axis relative to the beam is 45 degrees, and the angle phi of the cylinder relative to the x-axis is 20 degrees. These inputs are in degrees. The model calculation would rather have radians. When you change angle, it spits out the radian values that you would have to enter in the model to generate the same system. It should be about 0.78 for theta and 0.35 for phi. And you can see the effect that this has on the two-dimensional scattering pattern, meaning now that there is preferred orientation of the sample. In this case, looking down the neutron beam, the cylinder is oriented basically left to right, meaning the scattering pattern, since it's a Fourier transform, is elongated in the perpendicular direction and compressed in the direction along the orientation. Two-D data sets can be plotted and fitted in exactly the same way that 1D data can be fitted. For the case of 2D data, the input format is the output from the SANS data reduction program known as QXQY-ASCII. This output format is not in terms of detector coordinates, but in terms of QX and QY on the detector. The data is three columns, QX, QY, and intensity. As an example, I'll load a generated data set that is in this format. The data is loaded and plotted in a surface on linear scale. We can also show this on a logarithmic scale as well. We then choose our data set. The cylinder 2D model has not been plotted for the configuration and resolution of this 2D data set. Again, the resolution has not yet been implemented, but it will be in the future. And we can plot the two-dimensional function. It again gives us an image display, and again, in this case, the center of the beam is offset, and so the QX and QY are offset as well. We can append the model to our data set, and the actual experimental data is shown in the blue, red, yellow false color image, and the model data is shown with dark green on the top and a light green on the bottom surface. Like fitting one-dimensional data, we enter some reasonable values, and we can see the background needs to be higher. The scaling needs to be a bit larger. For the Q range here, since this is a high Q configuration, I do not know the length, and the data will not be able to determine the length of the cylinders. So I'll enter a larger number and hold it fixed. And we can see both from the data and compared to the model in the 3D surface plot and in the image plot that there is very little asymmetry in the data, which would indicate that the axis value of theta should be very small. If this axis value is small, we would also expect phi to be very small as well. And in fact, if theta is zero, phi is undetermined, so that will need to be held. This indicates, again, a little bit more of the complexity that is involved with a two-dimensional function. Again, showing the orientations and convincing yourself what orientation the cylinder is in may tell you a little bit more about what parameters can be free and should be held. We can also add some polydispersity in the radius of the cylinder, which again makes the sample scattering look more realistic. For this example, I won't have any polydispersity added in the angles theta or phi. These polydispersities would be Gaussian in each direction, and as you add polydispersity in each of these directions, you add another n-dimensional integral onto the already numerical integral of a cylinder form factor. So as you add these, the calculation will become progressively slower. So we'll try and hold a few of these parameters fixed and then do the fit just as before. We'll let the angle theta be free to vary. We'll hold phi, hold the polydispersity in both of the angles, and hold the contrast fixed and instead let the scale factor vary. So at this point we can see we have a fairly good initial guess. The shapes match up fairly well as the absolute scales. I'm feeling lucky. Let's not use any constraints and we'll do the 2D fit and see what happens. This will take a little bit longer for the fit, since instead of having a typical 100 or 200 data points for an intensity versus Q data set, you now have more than 16,000 data points. The program fit is still quite fast, since the calculation has been ported to an external compiled bit of C code and is also multiprocessor aware. The fit report is similar to what is generated from 1D. You see the resulting fit, the values of the fit, the associated errors, chi-squared, and now an image plot of the, a surface plot of the fitted result. The resultant of the fit, in this case, is both good by chi-squared, the reduced chi-squared is approximately 1, and also you can see it in the resulting pattern of the model overlaid on the data. Since there's experimental error in the data and a smooth model function, ideally the resulting surface should have this sort of speckled pattern, both top and bottom, indicating that the model is actually slicing through the experimental data. If, for instance, the scale factor was too high, the model function would completely be on top of the experimental data. There may be other better ways to visualize such a surface, but as you do figure out those better ways, please submit feedback and your ideas can help improve the two-dimensional fitting, which is an entirely new feature in the reduction program.